Hello, friends and family in our listening area. You're dialed into KVNF 90.9. And I'm DJ Peggy Soup, and this is As the Worm Turns. Thank you for our underwriters so that we can continue having this fabulous call-in show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or a story that you'd like to share of your Thanksgiving or how you put your gardens to bed, we're still on that subject. It's 970-527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. And I'm guessing this might be a little lively show. I have two very special people that are near and dear to my heart, and I'm very lucky to have them still visiting me. My beautiful mother, DJ Bonnie, for the evening, and my lovely sister, DJ Alicia. And so super excited to have them with us here, visiting in Paonia still.
Thank you for the invite.
Of course. And this is still what our family calls our time of gratitude. And so we really appreciate this time of season going into the winter weather and finding all the things that we're very grateful for, bringing out a little snippet of a poem. We now know it is possible to press through barriers. We certainly need unity to face the mounting odds against us. Honor your work and that of your sisters and friends, brothers, family. We are the ones we are waiting for. And so that's such a really great time, especially going into such a cold time of year, and having it sneak up on us a little bit just because we've had such a long Indian summer. And having my beautiful family members visiting, they were helping me finish up some yard work before the snow again came creeping on in. And here's a little reminder, a little rule of thumb, so to speak. Remember your basic tools and utensil care, and you are one of them. Remember your gloves, your sunscreen, hat, moisturizer, proper attire to do that outdoor preparations. Slivers can be dangerous. I had a very large sliver removed from my finger today. So if you see me this evening or tomorrow, I will have a giant thumb with a white bandage going, thumbs up, remember to wear your gloves when gardening. Huge. Some of the different techniques are making sure that you roll up if you really want to extend the life of your hoses. Make sure that you're draining them and rolling them up. It's best to put them in a sheltered area so that any water that may have been left in the curls, you want to be sure that you don't try and unroll them or run water through them before they are thawed completely. And that'll help save on hoses cracking or ice blowing out the side of it. Really helps to extend it. What we want to do is make sure that we extend the tools that we do have. Some of the other things are making sure that your clippers, snippers, loppers are all continue to be sharpened and well oiled. And again, put them out of the elements for the season. It's fun to start thinking of all the different areas that we were closing down for the season. A lot of what I like doing is letting many of my plants go to flower and finish their full cycle, which would include the echinacea and straw flowers and oregano that happen to be some of the plants we were cutting back this past week. And one of the things I like to do with the seeds, we've talked about seed collecting and sharing in the past. This year, with some of my echinacea seeds, well, naturally, a lot of the seeds will drop on their own in the area and reseed in that zone that they're already in. I don't think I've had to plant parsley or arugula in probably 3 or 4 years. It just keeps reseeding. In fact, I have an entire, what I would call my arugula lawn area that is just absolutely taken over. And then with the echinacea seeds and oregano seeds, I actually, when topping those flowers before cutting the full stalks down, is we took those and we sprinkled them along the fence line because we had extra, I say extra, we had a multitude of leaves that we were able to sprinkle down and then cover with leaf mulch. So hopefully when the thaw comes in the spring, yep, already looking forward to spring, those flowers might get a chance to add their beauty to a fence line in my small little farming area. And then we also had a chance to put down, I like spending that little bit of money for the weed-free hay to close down raised beds and get ready for those to be mulched in the spring for my crop rotations. If you have any suggestions or tips on how you like closing down your garden areas, please give us a call at 970-527-4868. Can't believe it's already November 29th. This month has just zoomed through for me. I think it was like the last several days was I probably spent in a delightful, emotional little family food coma of leftovers. And boy, did we get creative with our leftovers. And some of that is, do you ever really get tired of turkey? I don't know. Maybe a little bit. So, of course, when we get our family together, we're telling stories of when my sister and I were little, or stories of my mom when she was little. And one of the stories that did come up for us was different cold remedies that our great-grandmother, grandmother would share. And some of them were as radical as running around the house barefoot in the snow 3 times and then coming in and wrapping up in a blanket. That was an interesting one. And a lot of people do it today by going to soak in the hot springs in the snow and then rolling in and then hopping back in the hot water. Or soaking your feet in a bowl of moonlight. Graham used to say the moon will soothe what ails you in an effervescent way. How fun. Fun is that. And so that also, because it is that time of year where you have your different, again, tea mixtures, and I talked a little bit about that last week, and also putting food up. So teas that you might get going of harvesting your echinacea root or your coneflower root, as well as making sure that you have oregano set aside. I actually make a infused oil with oregano so that when you feel a cold coming on, you can rub your feet with that oregano oil and it helps soothe what's ailing ya. It's a very full scent. Helps you really bring it in, really help get rid of it. Also, infusing honey with sliced onions is an excellent natural cough expectorant. It tastes a lot much sweeter than it sounds. My mom was over here sticking her tongue out, making yucky face. And then with the putting away food, of course, that is a great time for me when things are a little slower, is to plan ahead on different garden preparations or looking through those different gardening books to help find recipes to, for example, a lot of people, some people had some mite issues on their fruit trees this year. And if you just take some white flour, and so Here's a little recipe if you want to grab your pencil and paper for a mite-free fruit tree mix. And they're teeny. Mites are very teeny, but they can really do big damage to the fruit trees. And like I said, I'm already looking forward to that spring, and this is a great time for me to pull out my books and check out different recipes. And this happened to just be one of the conversations that came up with friends over the last week or so. And when they attack, it's almost, you don't even know it until it's like, what? So if you take 5 pounds of white flour and a quart of buttermilk and 25 gallons of water, and you can bring that down to smaller quantities or get together with other gardening and farming friends to help share out those recipes. And you mix those ingredients together, and you can keep this potion in a tightly closed garbage can or spraying jug and stirring it or shaking it before adding to your smaller spray pump. And then you can spray weekly until the mites are history. So there's one little looking ahead just in case you wanted a mite free for your fruit tree potion. Also putting up a lot of fruit. I know that I've been dehydrating like a maniac and still have a couple more dehydration sessions with the last of the apples that I harvested 2 snows ago and have them snugly set in a container waiting for me just so patiently. So when you do have those extra dry goods in your house, of course the weather's getting chilly and all those little tiny mighty mice want to come on in and see what you got going on. Luckily, cats are a natural predator, and so if you have a really good mouser, then that just might be enough to keep those mice at bay. And if you don't have a cat or one that just doesn't seem too interested in the chasing of mice, you can keep mice and other small critters from nibbling your dry goods. And where this is good for your crops in the spring, to taking 2 tablespoons of Tabasco sauce and 2 tablespoons of cayenne pepper, 2 tablespoons of Murphy's oil soap, and 1 quart of warm water. And you mix those ingredients together in a bucket, and then you can put it in a handheld sprayer, and you can either in the spring drench your young trees, plants, shrubberies, and borders with it, and into the late fall. You can repeat it every few weeks if the weather is rainy to keep the scent fresh. And you can also do that in border lines of windowsills, like in your basements or doorways. A lot of people also have had some success with dried cayenne pepper lining those same windowsills, or finding the little cracks or crevices that might not be easily filled with the cayenne pepper or Tabasco sauce paste. And one other, it seemed to work, so I'm going to say that it's not an old wives' tale of putting whole bay leaves around as a borderline for any little crawling critters and or flying moths, so that if you're a grain saver, then you can put bay leaves around and they should help keep the moths out. If you have any other tidbits or such in that direction, please feel free to give us a call at 970-527-4868. And what other concepts are you...
The one thing I could add, that if you have trouble in the spring with ants coming in, sometimes itty-bitty ones, thin slices of cucumbers are left either at the entry of your door or somewhere in their track, a non-evasive method rather than using a ant trap that could be poisonous to little ones, and just leave the cucumbers there in the corner. And change them out every week when they start getting dry.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm. I thought
that would make sense of why I saw slices of cucumber
as you were growing up.
As I was growing
right,
up.
Right.
Probably should have stopped picking them up then. And so those are all those fun little remedies that we get to keep as a concept. We also will continue talking about seed saving. And Seed to Seed is an excellent book by Suzanne Ashworth. And so one of those things are what are some of the easiest seeds to save. I actually let a radish turn into an overgrown beet-looking baseball-sized thing, and it had these enormous tentacles. And it is one of those things where you're like, well, gosh, doesn't that really take up a lot of room in your garden? It does. It does. But not so much that it's not worth it. And so then there are radish seeds aplenty. And I think beets are one of my favorites, beet and chard. So easy to collect. And you just let that plant dry out. And I pulled it again. Right before the snowfall, and you can almost keep it out in your garage if you want to clip the dried stalks and set them in a paper bag. And then you can put them in your basement at a cool temperature just for storage and give them a planting in the spring. A lot of people are very excited about the snow. It is a fabulous thing. Because that is our spring water, where we have how much snow falls in the mountains and how much actually sticks here has a great impact on us. Pretty excited that this year we were not in a severe drought here. And we have Joy from Hotchkiss who has a question. Hello, Joy.
Hi.
How are you? Hello. How are you doing today, Joy?
I'm doing really well, thank you. And how are you all doing?
Oh, fabulous.
Sounds great.
Having a great time. I'm so excited that I get this time, extra time to visit.
That's wonderful. I just moved into some place that has echinacea that I heard you talking about what to do, how to process echinacea root, and I don't know what to do. So how do I do it? What do I do?
So luckily, you traditionally from seed to the plant growing, it sounds like since you moved into a place, it's probably been well established and several years old. And the roots of the echinacea plant really branch out. They're very woodsy. So you can just dig outside that edge line of where the flowers were. And you can even go probably a good 6 to 8 inches out. And you'll see, I like to at the beginning of like just shoveling down to where I'm starting to see the tops of the roots. And then just nipping them with good, sharp, clean clippers. You can clip those outer roots. Some people in the fall will actually shovel down to section out roots, then that helps thin. So then the next following year, you'll get a large, again, beautiful bloom for your echinacea or purple coneflower. So then what you want to do is I try not to wash them. I let the soil dry and use a root brush, like a potato brush.
Uh-huh.
And then brush them that way to get the major soil off of them. So depending on what you want to do with them, whether you're going to make a oil infusion or a tea, you can also then take the I've had some individuals show me that you can take a carrot peeler and peel that outer side off and then use like a carrot grater to grate it up. And then it's easier when it's dry if you wanted to make a tea to have that as a flake.
To what? To put it on a plate?
To flake it, to put it in a tea bag, yes. Or put it in a pestle and mortar and grind it into powder. So that's how I prepare mine.
Wonderful. Thank you. And to preserve it for later, to dehydrate or freeze?
You can either put it in a dehydrator. I like having my dry, and then I put it in a glass jar. And that's why usually I grate it or pulverize it in a pestle and mortar to make it into a powder. So then I can fill more into usually just a 4 to 8 ounce jar, depending on how much I harvest for the season. I try and rotate that to keep it as fresh as possible. And because once it is established, you do really want to try and make sure that just like irises, or many other tuberous root plants, that you want to thin them out so then they can reestablish and have more space and air in their soil.
Cool. Okay. Thank you. And I take the inner parts of the root, not so much the outer covering, but...
It's all good. It's really a preference okay. on that part.
Oh, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy the show.
Perfect. Thank you.
Enjoy Colorado until you have to leave.
Oh, well, welcome here and come back soon. Thanks
yes,
so much.
Come here. Yeah, yep. Come back soon. It's marvelous and wonderful here. Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks again, Joy from Hotchkiss, for giving us a call in. And that is a good basis for lots of different root harvesting. A lot of people harvest dandelion root, for one. I love dandelion root tea. It really is a nourisher. Helps really keep up the different minerals and vitamins that you might need to help bring you back into a sturdy stock in the wintertime. Horseradish root's also a really nice one, although I like to process that not dried. You can dry it and make horseradish flakes. But a really nice way is to process your own horseradish root into a horseradish sauce. And just remember that you can make it as spicy as you want. And so that is such a fun question that Joy brought up, is that it's not just the top of the plant that we can utilize. We get to utilize the entire plants. For many of them. And so they're also edible flowers. The calendula is one of my favorite. It's related to the dandelion and the marigold. And so that's really, the marigold and calendula are just beautiful flowers in themselves. And calendula flowers are not only the petals edible, but make a wonderful topical oil to help smooth out wrinkles and help moisturize and really bring in the vitamin C aspects, and beautiful bees. And the bees are what we need to make sure that we get all of these beautiful things continuing to flower and produce wonderful fruits. And one of the ways that we can help encourage the bees is to plant those edible flowers, helping make your yard into a garden that you can eat or turn into teas and drink, and making sure that those stay organic and keeping the harmful pesticides off of the plants so that the bees get back to their hives and make that delicious honey, which is also brilliant in different traditions of tea making and cough syrups, skincare, and all that yummy, nourishing aspects. So it's funny to say, what makes a seed organic? Certified organically grown seeds are harvested from plants that are raised without synthetic chemicals or pesticides. And then no chemicals are applied to the seed before the sale, which that's something that you want to look for when buying seeds in bulk. Many beans and peas might be coated with some sort of protection to help them try and resist mold or different pestilences when planted in the ground, because peas and beans go in so early and they deal with different extreme dampness. So you want to make sure that if you are buying bulk seeds and they seem to have a coating, check with your supplier and make sure what it is. And that's a great way to figure out if it has been treated. Certification for operators, that happens quite frequently. Also look for the specific companies that, you know, will have their packaging labeled. Keep that going. Fundamental first steps in sustainable organic agriculture. Making sure you're maintaining your healthy soil. Crop rotation is huge. And so that's something that even the small yard gardeners like myself really try and strive to consider. Although I understand that, oh, that was such a great tomato crop right there on that fence. That might not be the best spot year two and three. And that tomato plant is looking for a new area of sunshine and nutrients. Keep that in mind. Also, being able to put in seeds for a cover crop, even in a small raised bed, is absolutely possible. Whether it's putting in some clover seed that you can mulch in to your soil before you put in your planting is a beautiful early spring treat to see. I know that some people have already put in their early crops, which, wow, big thumbs up to them, which is super fun to see, and I always love helping them weed their gardens and watching their earliest spinach and early lettuce varieties come up. Always so impressed with that. I just happen to try and get out there earlier, but it seems so smart when I see them have their plants already coming up and it's just breaking through their straw or hay and not having to do anything yet. They all did it before the snow came, which is great. So then we're going to be talking over the next several weeks on the difference between conversations over dinner tables with what makes an heirloom seed and traditional varieties, and what are GMOs, genetically modified organisms, and also open pollinated seeds. So many good things and so little time. So, and then why a lot of people, this is such a great valley. And again, we've had so much fun already going through the different aspects in this valley of so much abundance, so full of gratitude. I'm so excited to be able to live here and be a part of it and know so many talented and hardworking people. And part of that is also thanking you, again, our listeners and underwriters, for tuning in to As the Worm Turns here at KVNF. Please make sure that you're going to stay tuned for One Woman's Perspective with beautiful Miss DJ Leah. And we are so excited. Again, I'm so excited. They barely spoke. You would not know how talkative they are by how quiet they were. This is the quietest they've been in weeks.
That is the truth.
No, yeah, not at all. That's the best. I plead the fifth.
And so thank you again so much. So much gratitude. And happy garden prepping and planting. And I will be talking to you next week.
Thanks, Peggy Soup.
Thank you,
Peggy Soup. A shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.